The Great American Adventure: Secrets of America, Political History of Government and Law by Judge Dale, retired, includes the all-important must-read The Bankruptcy of America, 1933, second edition, January 2015. Disclaimers: Judge Dale, retired, remains relatively anonymous. His reasons, explained on page 22, are valid. Those who know him personally are appreciative of his research and revelations and are happy to do their best to protect his identity and safety. The illustration on the front cover was created by David Dees. The inclusion of this uncopyrighted image does not mean that David Dees has either reviewed or endorsed the author's work. The parties responsible for the formatting of this version of Judge Dale's The Great American Adventure have neither requested nor received payment for their efforts. It is available as a free download on anticorruptionsociety.com. The foreword, images, footnotes, and references were not part of the original work. They have been added to enhance and/or validate Judge Dale's work. Formatting has been altered to reduce eye strain. Some punctuation has been corrected, and an index has been added for convenient reference. Two additional important articles by Judge Dale, retired, have been included as add-ons. To forward the following information provided by Judge Dale, a retired federal judge, is extremely important for all Americans. Since the founding of our country, the elite, and their robber baron partners, have fabricated our history, taken control of our economy and altered our form of government and legal system. The judge describes the people and events responsible for America's current state of deterioration. Many refer to these people as the Illuminati, exposed by author Henry Mockow, or the Bilderbergs, exposed by author Daniel Estulin. It is critical that we come to understand and accept that what has passed for public education in America has merely been indoctrination. While the judge's revelations are likely to cause cognitive dissonance in many, learning how our economic and legal systems really work is the only hope our society has to bring an end to the Babylonian slave status currently being imposed on the 99%. Judge Dale exposes information that is not in our history books and reveals how we can best defend ourselves from the current parasitic corporate government and injustice system. But first, people need enough courage to face some very inconvenient truths. Judge Dale also reveals that the Illuminati are hell-bent upon making Bible prophecy come true and are responsible for much of the biblical-like devastation that has been occurring around the earth. We won't be able to stop them or even protect ourselves unless we understand their modus operandi. A.L. Whitney, Editor, Anti-Corruption Society, www.anticorruptionsociety.com. 3 Index 4 Part 1 A Lesson in Fraud 1 Prologue, At the Dawn of Human History 11 Quotes 21 Part 2 American History, Uncensored 25 The Bankruptcy of America, 1933 45 Part 3 U.S. Presidents 53 Operation Mockingbird, Media Control, 66 Roswell 68 Korea and Vietnam 74 The American Bar Association 75 Part 4 Religion and Law 77 The Holy Roman Church 83 The Ancient Roman Trusts 86 Other Slave Driving Techniques The Religion of Sports 92 Other Slave Driving Techniques Credit and Debt 94 Part 5 The Legal Process 102 The Courts 102 Criminal Law 104 Citations 107 Summons and Lawsuits 109 Divorce 110 Foreclosure 111 Additional Article, The Sovereign Citizen 114 Additional Article, The Missing 13th Amendment 118 Part 1 A Lesson in Fraud Due to an historic perversion and expert mind programming labeled as Babylonian slave driving techniques, which has been adopted and employed by the United States government, few citizens realize that America is not what they perceive it to be. Elephants are gray, but not all gray things are elephants. This expose hopes to reveal to you the great adventure and some secrets of America, but not all, because there are too many, such as, America is not a free or constitutional country. Factually, it isn't even a country. America is a privately owned French corporation, and its motive of operation, known as politics, government, courts, laws, currency and commerce, are merely the byproducts of several greedy, vivid, and intellectual imaginations belonging to the royal and elite of Europe and controlled with the aid of their foreign agents and slave drivers who act in America under the protection of the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. The success of this private corporation relies heavily upon the ability of its slave drivers identified as the chiefs of staff, politicians, bankers, judges, priests, and lawyers to convince teachers, policemen, soldiers and the general public of its authenticity. Two major problems exist for this private corporation because everything that the corporate board of directors, the European royal, elite, and Sabbatean Jewish bankers, decide is always recorded somewhere and is accessible with the advent of new technological advances. Even some of those files marked top secret are accessible with a little help from your friends. Ironically, the only secrets being concealed within those files is their treason, rogue history and new technological advances being withheld from public view. History is a fable agreed upon. Napoleon Bonaparte, would it interest you to know that historically, every documented skirmish, global catastrophe, and war that ever occurred on Earth since ancient Babylon has been a well-planned and staged event, orchestrated by the royal and elite classes of the world with a focus on mind, crowd, population control, and the stimulation of commerce? After all, the European Board of Directors makes their one money off of commerce, and unfortunately wars and catastrophes generate more income and spending than tranquility and peace. Do they care that people might die? Like all sociopaths, they actually plan on it. What would be your first reaction, if I were to prove to you that two elected presidents of the United States were never American citizens and were elected under an alias or assumed name? The first man was a German national, an atheist and former Nazi SS naval officer and the former director of the Nazi intelligence agency called Odessa. The second man was a South African national and is a Marxist, a racist and anti-Christian. This is a disparaging fact to hear or read about, especially since colonial America was founded by Christian people seeking freedom from religious persecution. People who just wanted to be left alone, which made them an easy mark for unscrupulous men. Would it interest you to know that the first CIA agency for the United States was completely staffed with former Nazi SS and OSA officers, with the blessings of President Harry S. Truman and the United States Congress, and they placed World War II flying ace, Wild Bill Donovan, in a figurehead position as director, in order to sell the CIA to the American public? Would it shock or even concern you to learn that the Patriot Act is a carbon copy of the Nazi Constitution of the 1940s? History suggests that the Allies defeated the Nazi war machine when in fact Churchill and Hitler were close friends and Masonic brothers. Queen Elizabeth called Adolf Hitler uncle. Adolf's real name was Baron Rothschild, and he was a member of the European royal family. Didn't you ever wonder why the Queen's royal palace was never touched during the Nazi aerial bombing of England? Two investigative journalists uncovered these facts, and when they attempted to expose Churchill and Elizabeth, they were arrested and imprisoned for 33 years without formal charges or a trial. Shortly after the World War II German surrender, the government of the United States secretly repatriated 155,000 Nazi SS and OSA officers into the United States in 1945 under Operation Paperclip, and the average immigrant to America today is forced to suffer all kinds of hurdles, pitfalls, prejudices and propaganda to finally be accepted under U.S. immigration laws. Immigration laws that countermand to the basic principles and guarantees of the Declaration of Independence. How would you feel about President George W. Bush, if you knew that he issued two executive orders as president, which 1. Made all American presidents the official dictator of America, and 2. Permits pharmaceutical companies to release new drugs and vaccines to the public without performing the usual battery of safety tests? This same executive order also releases the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, of any liability for approving such new pharmaceuticals and vaccines for distribution and sale to the general public. Would it interest you to know that all but 4 U.S. presidents and 98% of all of our U.S. congressmen have been serving as political decoys and official slave drivers for the European royal and elite masters? The cost of campaigning for election to the office of president or for a seat in Congress has intentionally been made untouchable and exorbitant in cost, except for millionaires. The purpose and intent is to discourage the average American citizen from overstepping his class boundaries in an attempt to secure one of these political posts. There is a huge disparaging class difference in America. Would you feel just a little bit ignorant to learn that the Republican and Democratic Party is another political fraud and that these political parties are actually the product of one large political conspiracy? All of the candidates chosen for the highest positions in government are not chosen by party members or the public but are pre-selected by the royal and elite, and each approved candidate must swear an allegiance to and render a pledge to adhere to the demands of these corporate directors and masters. One, your so-called right to vote in America is actually about slave registration. Every applicant is asked if they are a United States citizen or other. A U.S. citizen is defined in all law dictionaries as a corporate entity. Your vote really means nothing during an election because the electronic voting machines are rigged. The manual tabulation process was eliminated via the Bush v. Gore elections as unreliable, and besides, the Electoral College actually chooses the candidates regardless of the vote count. This was the real reason one also called the Bilderbergers III behind the creation of the Electoral College. The whole Bush v. Gore event that occurred in Florida was a well-planned and staged event to eliminate the paper ballot cards and manual tabulation. The use of racist remarks and displays of racism is also planned by the royal and elite to divert attention away from their true purpose. Racism is used heavily and well in America to divert the attention of the masses because most of us are very easily distracted. The real truth is that there is no difference between the masses but as a collective group. The slave drivers couldn't control us, and so racism is used to divide and conquer the slaves. The federal government's usual motive of operation is to cause a problem, blow it out of proportion in the media, and then provide for and adopt a remedy that only they can control. This is never the exception but rather the rule, and each time a little more of our humanity and liberty is subtly stolen by government without the public ever taking notice of it. Most people are easily entertained and distracted, which is the same reason why people are so fascinated with magicians too and hypnotists. America's judiciary are smaller corporate branches called courts. The judges are actually business administrators called judges, and all of America's laws are civil corporate regulations called statutes. People are treated as corporations in these courts, and these so-called bastions of justice are all about commerce and fraud. Everyone needs to be on the same page, and so precedents become their safety benchmark. This next question doesn't constitute any proof, but think about this. If American judges truly are the good guys, why don't they all wear white robes instead of black? The answer is, because black is the pagan traditional color for Illuminati priests, which will make more sense to you as you read on through this expose. The local police and prosecutors are not in place to serve and protect the American public, but to the contrary, they are structured to protect the slave drivers and the private United States corporation by enforcing its corporate statutes against the corporate enemy, the American citizen. Most of these police officers haven't to see Chapter 2, titled Magicians, of attorney Melvin Stamper's book Fruit from a Poisonous Tree, for a clue about how they have been indoctrinated and manipulated. They are so naive and well-meaning that they actually believe they are preserving and protecting the public. The politicians, prosecutors, judges, priests, and clerks know the truth, and many of them increase their personal spoils with every conviction. Yes, the Vatican, judges, prosecutors, and clerks make money off of every conviction and lawsuit, and their clearinghouse for all of these private spoils is located in the Texas Federal Reserve, under an account titled, the Chris Fund. 3. Court registry investment system. If our police officers would simply invest a little energy and time to research and read something other than Playboy or Popular Mechanics, or to hoist a few at the local police pub, they would discover that the amended version of the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1933, by President Franklin D. Roosevelt, specifically identifies the American citizen as the enemy of the federal government. The fraud and deception perpetrated by these slave drivers works well, as long as they can maintain their deception and manipulation over the masses. In fact and in reality, the historic civilian government promised by the Constitution of the United States of America never existed, nor did it ever have a chance of succeeding, courtesy of President George Washington and the Continental Congress. President George Washington, the reputed father of our country, cleverly 3. A copy of a Chris report is available at anticorruptionsociety.com on the source documents page titled Case Monetization, Chris Report, July 2003. 5. Overthrew the Organic Constitution of the United States of America, using the Articles of Confederation and then reinstated the privately owned colonial corporation of the Virginia Colony. He then installed a military government, which is concealed in plain sight, e.g. Commander-in-Chief, Attorney General, Secretary General, Auditor General, Surgeon General, Postmaster General, etc. The Constitution was a well-written document, which was copied from the Iroquois Federation government. Many of the safeguards found in the Organic Constitution were added by the Founding Fathers to bind the hands of the other delegates because none of them trusted each other, which proves the old proverb that, there is no honor among thieves. I bet you never knew that the American Indians were governed by an emperor named Moitoi and enjoyed a federation government. We were all falsely taught that the red race were just savages. The Iroquois Indians are the architects of the universal postal system of the world. And I bet you never knew that the red race of America are the only known living descendants of the continent of Atlantis, which sunk into the Atlantic Ocean around 9600 BC. The overthrow of the Constitution by President Washington was no real loss to America because the Constitution had actually been converted into a business plan, designed to benefit the Founding Fathers and not the American people. This information may not correspond with the material that was pounded into our brains during our forced public school education, but it is a fact nonetheless. America factually continued to operate under the privately owned corporation of the Virginia Colony until March 9, 1933, and then that corporation was dissolved by President Franklin D. Roosevelt upon the passage of the Emergency Banking Act, and at which time he instituted a new privately owned corporation called the United States, Inc., which is registered in France and recorded under the Vatican Corporation of Rome. Now isn't that a perplexing situation? The term the United States of America never got off the ground and is a fictitious name fraudulently used by the masters and slave six drivers because it conforms to the same educational material that society has been indoctrinated with and because it appeases the ears and minds of the patriotic public, but it is all just another corporate prevarication. America was guaranteed a public education but never guaranteed a truthful education, and as Shakespeare once wrote, and therein lies the rub. Factually, the concept or government institution known as the United States of America has not existed since the passage of the Declaration of Independence. However, the elite slave drivers have cleverly convinced the American public that this is all real by creating and celebrating national holidays, by erecting monuments, by adopting a national anthem and flag, by fictionalizing history, by propagating a false freedom, and by forcing this indoctrination upon society through mandatory public education. According to the Articles of Confederation, the phrase, "we the people," is defined to mean "we the delegates," which refers only to the politicians and not the public, which proves again that the Constitution of the United States of America was never intended to protect or serve the American public. There are several early administrative court rulings which confirm this same conclusion. For those of you who require something more than common sense and my educated opinion or observations. Everything in America is about contracts, and it is our burden as Americans to make government perform honorably, to be specific and to prohibit them from changing the meaning of common words, which is referred to in their circle of friends as legalese. The American Bar Association is a foreign union and its members are all working in collusion with Israel, the British Empire, the Vatican, the Rothschild and Rockefeller banking empires, Congress and the elite to undermine America. All attorneys are agents of a foreign power who swear allegiance to that foreign power, i.e. the Queen of England. This is why all lawyers must file a written notice of appearance in every court case they represent. By that notice, the lawyer is seven admitting to the court that he is a foreign agent and he is requesting permission to represent you in that corporate court. Your contract with the lawyer gives him your sovereign power of attorney to represent your best interests, and he immediately uses it against you by admitting to the judge that you will accept the jurisdiction and decisions of the corporate court. So much for winning your case or any appeal. When a prosecutor loses a trial, he is obligated by the court to pay the costs of prosecution, out of pocket. Your attorney always divulges your defense strategy to the prosecutor to avert this embarrassment and penalty from being assigned to him. This group is a brotherhood and these corporate courts are a business and everything is about commerce. People are regarded as nothing more than corporate property. The American Bar Association is actually a branch of the National Lawyers Guild Communist Party, which can only be located in the hard copy printing of 28 U.S.C. 3002, Section 15A. The online version of Title 28 U.S.C. has been altered by the Attorney General to read something entirely different, apparently because this fact has recently shown up in too many private court petitions and memorandums of law. To become a member of the American B.A.R. Association, applicants must have obtained a doctorate in law or the equivalent thereof and passed an examination designed to test the depth of their indoctrination. If they pass, they are required to surrender their American citizenship and swear allegiance to the Queen of England and not the Constitution. This means that all card-carrying American lawyers are foreign agents, liars, traitors, and communists. No wonder Jesus warned us about lawyers. More about the American Bar Association on page 75. The privately owned corporate Federal Reserve System's debt has cleverly been renamed the national debt, to suggest that this is the American public debt. However, it is not America's debt but rather Israel's debt and the private Federal Reserve's corporate debt, and yet we have been deceived into thinking and believing the complete opposite by the corporate slave drivers through their use of patriotic slogans like, "This is the cost of freedom." If you want more proof, examine the fine print of your savings or checking account contract. You will discover that each time you opened one of these accounts, you agree to be responsible for the repayment of the national debt. Now, why would that language ever be included in an application for a checking or savings account if the national debt already was our responsibility? The answer is, so that the banks may confiscate your assets without further permission. Pretty clever on their part, if I do say so. Would it interest you to know that the FCC, CIA, FBI, IMF, NSA, IRS, OPM, ATF, DEA, NASA, Interpol, HS, Homeland Security, and all the other members of the Alphabet Gang are all privately owned corporations and none of them are or ever has been an agency of United States, Inc.? The United States government always held some stock in these corporations but never outright owned or controlled any of them. Their employees receive their paychecks from OPM4, which belongs to the IMF, which is the property of the United Nations, which belongs to Israel and the royal and elite class of Europe. All of the Alphabet Gangs are now the registered property of the United Nations. Is it no wonder that President Wilson's League of Nations never got off the ground and that out of 267 nations on the earth, only 71 are members of the United Nations? All of this deception is compounded by the refusal of ordinary Americans to realize, know, or understand that it is this secrecy and duplicity of privately owned corporations, being surreptitiously portrayed as American agencies and government, coupled with the deceit and endless greed of Israel, European bankers, and the royal and elite families of the world, that have come together to fleece the American people like the sheep they truly are, and unfortunately, America's public apathy and ignorance only serves to reinforce the lie. For Office of Personnel Management 9, this paper hopes to expose many of these secrets of America, but unfortunately not all of them. A few references have been suggested or offered for you to investigate on your own, if you are so inclined. If you strongly disagree with anything I have written, great, now prove that I am wrong, but be careful how you react, because we patriotic Americans have all been taught from an early age to just simply deny without proof anything that contradicts that imaginary template defined as the American way of life. I happen to know that everything that will be discussed herein is factual, and I grant you that these secrets of America will not be easy to digest, because deception never is an easy pill for anyone to swallow. If ignorance truly is bliss, you certainly can choose to remain apathetic and ignorant, or you can decide to grow up and begin to digest some hardcore reality. Some of your best friends may be lawyers, judges, and politicians, and unfortunately they are all a part of the lie, and they all have sworn an oath to propagate the lie and deny the truth, so you may need to do some soul searching and investigation of your own. It was hard for me to accept too. Those who do not know their past are condemned to repeat it. George Santayana offered as a prologue the most objective and original information I have discovered, concerning the origin of an ancient system of crowd and mind control called Babylonian slave driving techniques and its historic application and effects upon the European and American culture was researched by a group of Asian historians. All of what they discovered is extremely germane in understanding the secrets of America, and this information helped to set the stage for the Great American Adventure. The following is a brief synopsis of their research, which I have condensed, utilizing my knowledge, experience, and comprehension of their systematic investigation. I have included several small details in that synopsis, which I uncovered during my many years of research. I warn you that most Asian people believe in a deep spirituality more so than in religious dogma, miracles, or human gods, and that such Christian beliefs will be treated by them with complete indifference. I apologize now if I tend to repeat myself at times or go off on tangents throughout the body of this paper, but unfortunately I find it most difficult not to, when each timeline event or topic lends itself to further qualitative or quantifiable data. Prologue. At the dawn of human history. At the dawn of human history, some 6,000 years ago, in the ancient city of Babylon, a spurt of great prosperity in agriculture brought about a population boom and the formation of family tribes, which also spirited a frenzy of fights and battles within and between these groups in an effort to establish tribal supremacy. Out of this confusion arose an intelligent and tyrannical individual by the name of Hammurabi. Hammurabi devised a system of mind control, population control, and laws of conduct and trade, which was later defined as the Babylonian slave driving techniques. Hammurabi's system of controls was reduced into writing, in which he combined local folk wisdom and prophecy in an effort to lend to his system more credibility among the tribes, and he included additional propaganda about the existence of an omniscient, omnipresent, almighty God, who saw all things, rewarded all deeds and punished all misconduct. Note, there was another civilization the size of the ancient Roman Empire that existed near the city of Babylon some 2,000 years earlier, which has just recently been discovered by archaeologists, and it would be a reasonable conclusion or assumption that the folk wisdom and prophecy of Babylon was actually derived from this earlier civilization. The continent of Atlantis, however, existed several thousands of years before that, which continues to be denied by the royal and elite faction through their slave drivers, paid historians, paid scientists, and media representatives. Hammurabi's system of control, conduct, folklore and prophecy preempted the Christian Holy Bible and the general laws of government. His trade laws would eventually become known as the Law of Merchants, which is still used and recognized today 11 internationally as the Uniform Commercial Code. Hammurabi plagiarized the concept and existence of an almighty God, which had been prophesized for many years in folk legend, and he cleverly included himself in these writings as the man named Abraham. Note. As you read on, you will see that according to these Asian historians, they have concluded that the Christian Holy Bible was actually compiled by the royal and elite classes to be used as a tool to keep them in power and to help them control and drive the ignorant and unwashed masses defined as their slaves. Individuals in Mesopotamia eventually built upon Hammurabi's concept of crowd mind control, his all-seeing and all-knowing God, and the prophecy of Abraham. One of their members, a bearded man with a charismatic persona, appeared out of clean air, sat upon a throne and proclaimed to all of the tribes that his royal status and bloodline was derived from none other than Abraham. There was no way to prove the truth of his statements, and so in order to maintain this belief of his royal status and retain absolute control over the many tribes, a series of great visual aids and displays resembling miracles were engineered. Next, this god-king employed and empowered a special sect of slave drivers to further cement his will and control over the people, which initiated the birth of the Freemasons. 1/10 of the wealth of the tribe's agriculture would be demanded of and surrendered to this god-king as a tax upon his subjects, which he called tithing. Eventually, the combined tribes invaded the pagan empire of Egypt, and the Freemasons added the Egyptian slave-driving techniques to their arsenal of knowledge. The symbol adopted by the Freemasons to identify their special sect was plagiarized from the pagan religion of Egypt, which was the all-seeing eye encased in the apex of a pyramid, and which was intended to convey to the masses that their duties and authority was superior to them and was derived from the all-seeing and all-knowing Almighty God. 12 Note, This Egyptian pagan symbol of an all-seeing eye at the apex of a pyramid is still used today and appears on the reverse side of the Federal Reserve note, printed by the Sabbatean Jewish Bankers of Israel who own and control the Federal Reserve System in America. The use of this symbol is intended to identify these European bankers as Freemasons and Illuminati members. These slave control techniques created a parallel cultural evolution between the royal and elite ruling class and the ignorant, unwashed masses, by utilizing a combination of knowledge, food, and financial restraints, which included a forced superiority over life and death. Any unusually intelligent individuals who discovered or deduced the true nature of this royal and elite movement were either inducted into it, murdered, or their position and influence was neutralized by an assortment of other devious means. The royal and elite ruling class was constantly confronted by numerous rebellions. One such notable rebellion was led by a person named Jesus Christ, and despite the fact that Jesus was eventually executed by the elite class for treason, his radical ideas appealed so deeply to the poor and downtrodden that his rebellion, called Christianity, spread like a wildfire across the land. Note: there were more poor people than the royal and elite class, however the royal and elite were infinitely superior in intelligence and wealth, and they used their intelligence, wealth, and cunning to control the minds and hearts of the unwashed masses they defined as slaves. The same principle is applied in America this date. Symbol of Freemasonry. After Rome invaded Judea and scattered the Jews, the Freemasons began to offer their services to other kings and despots. Roman Emperor Constantine was convinced by one sect of Freemasons to compile a book of his own, which would encompass the Christian folk beliefs and prophecy and the pagan beliefs of his people, establish his laws of conduct, and thus provide 13 him with an infinitely better way to control and herd his slaves like sheep. The Lord is my shepherd became the preamble of this ideology. The Roman Church at this time was totally a pagan church composed of doctrines that encouraged murder, human sacrifice, devil worship, peonage, the accumulation of wealth, and the worship of demon god-like idolatry. Emperor Constantine deduced that he needed to either crush or utilize the tide of this Christian rebellion, which was devouring his kingdom, and so Constantine ordered that the basic principles of the pagan Roman Church and the new Christian movement be merged together into one religion at the Council of Nicaea, which resulted in the birth of the Holy Roman Church. Over many centuries to pass, the doctrines of the Holy Roman Church have been constantly expanded upon by the absorption of other ideas and beliefs procured from other religions, prophets, and folklore. Those ideas and beliefs that were considered palatable to the royal and elite classes were promoted relentlessly in an effort to establish a universal mental control and culture. Note: all of the royal families located in Europe, Asia, and South America eventually intermarried to make them all related by marriage. This was done to strengthen their royal bloodlines and to eliminate wars between the royal classes. Then they pooled their wealth to create a new business enterprise, which was the financing of currency for various world governments, with the underlying motive to control and influence those governments through the debt that was owed to them. To increase the debt owed to them, they helped to instigate wars and conflicts between various countries and people. A philosophical rift eventually developed between the European royal family factions regarding their beliefs in an almighty God and their purpose and duties toward mankind. This rift split the royal families into two factions, the European royalty and the Chinese royal family. These are just names. The European royal family conceals their power and intervention behind the Rothschild name, a group which included most of the Nordic, Eastern European families, some Central and South 14 American countries, and the Vatican. The Sabbatean Jews follow the ancient religion of Babylon and practice an anti-traditional philosophy, which is highly pagan and which explains their attraction and connection to the Vatican. This faction believes that the concept of an almighty God is an historic prevarication premised upon folk legend and/or prophets of the time, and that their only duty was to the royal family, the elite class, the accumulation of greater wealth and their continued domination over governments and the ignorant, unwashed masses defined as their slaves. The European faction finances the Freemasons, the Mossad, and an elite army of mercenaries concealed within their rank and file known as the Illuminati. The Freemasons are charged with the responsibility of driving the slaves, the Mossad are used as bodyguards and intelligence gatherers, and together the Illuminati are responsible for eliminating or terminating obstacles and problems with severe prejudice, affecting the royal and elite families. The other, larger royal faction known as the Chinese royal family include all of the royal families in the Middle East, Asia, Russia, and most of Central and South America. They became a more devout group who had amassed what they believed to be proof of the existence of an almighty God and who believe that their royal family obligations included serving mankind. They believe that their pooled wealth in safekeeping belongs only to their almighty God, pending his physical return to earth, and in the meantime their almighty God's wealth should benefit all of humanity, so that man can devote more time and energy toward his mental, physical and spiritual discipline and enlightenment. Ever since this philosophical split between the royal families, the European faction has constantly attempted to steal all or part of the Chinese faction's physical cache of wealth and plot the murder of the Chinese family elders. All of the world's martial arts societies and masters are financed by the Chinese royal family, and in return the martial arts masters have sworn a pledge to their almighty God and to the royal family to provide security and protection for the Chinese royal family. An army of ninjas protects the family elders today. 15 Note: the oldest living elder is currently 165 years old and the youngest elder is 95. Yes, there is a secret of youth, longevity, and a body free of disease, and the royal Chinese elders know what it is. Nearly all of the countries on earth have at one time or another received financing from the Chinese royal family because they truly are a devout and honorable group. It is this financing that the European faction has alternately been attempting to procure. They have frequently failed to seize the Chinese faction's great physical cache of wealth, which is estimated to be 85% of the entire world's gold, silver, precious gems, and antiquities. The European faction is a ruthless group. They do not lend, they bribe and steal, and both royal family factions liberally utilize look-alike decoys surrounded by bodyguards because all of their family members are constantly at risk of assault and murder. The Holy Roman Church, which is a privately owned corporation defined as a religion, is housed within the Vatican City of Rome and is a powerful royal faction and monoculture in their own right. Following the same principle utilized by the European royal faction, the Vatican finances priests to drive their slaves and finances a mercenary group of priests known as Jesuits. The Jesuits are utilized as personal bodyguards and are responsible for physically eliminating problem people and obstacles to the church with extreme prejudice. The cardinals and bishops are the administrators and intelligence gatherers for the corporation. The appointed administrator of the Jesuits is called the Black Pope, and his pulpit is located within the confines of the United States Pentagon. He is Illuminati and on special occasions dons the traditional black robe of the Illuminati priests. The White Pope is the chief administrator of the church and the positive public image that the corporate Holy Roman Church desires to propagate upon the world's masses. His pulpit is located within the confines of the Vatican of Rome. He dons a white robe gilded in gold, which is supposed to symbolize the Almighty God's purity, property, and the wealth of the earth. 16 The Reformation by Martin Luther was another rebellion against this royal Catholic monoculture and their Babylonian system of slave controls. Many of the European people being persecuted for their objections and ideas to these control techniques, found freedom from persecution in the New World, and as a result, America flourished as no other civilization before it. In a parallel to the genuine religious belief and feeling of the American people, manipulators from the European royal faction secretly infiltrated the American society and the new deceptive concept of government that certain American leaders were attempting to establish. These manipulators then planned and evolved increasingly sophisticated ways to regain control over their deposed slaves and control over the new Republican American government. Several of the manipulations they employed were designed to drive the people into conflict and war, to strengthen them through competition, to reduce their population growth, and to profit from the sale of arms to them. The European faction used the gold and jewels they had looted from India during the Middle Ages to finance both England and America during the American Revolution and the War of 1812. Their additional goal was to strengthen their influence over the King of England and regain control over their English slaves. This is also how Freemasonry became so central to the development and history of both England and America. Note: the Chinese royal family faction had initially provided financing for the expansion and improvement of America but vacated their presence once the European faction sufficiently dug their claws into the corrupt American government and the lifeblood of the country, and the rest is history. There was a true idealism in the American adventure, however the original concept of American democracy proved to be too unruly and too difficult for the European faction to control. To tighten their reins and employ a stricter discipline, the royal family quietly waged a 137-year physical, political, and financial battle against their deposed American slaves, utilizing the same ancient Babylonian slave-driving techniques premised upon the philosophy that he who controls the keys to the granary controls the food, the culture, and the people. 17 Note: in addition to driving America into war and the staging of conflicts between the various races and creeds, their next target and goal was to drive the small American farmer out of business and then deplete the nutritional level of food products or replace many natural food products with chemicals utilizing a new science called microbiotics. Next, they forced the unwashed masses to become dependent upon the privately owned corporate government to feed, clothe, and protect them, and lastly, they broke the backs of the labor unions by encouraging American industry to move their operations into third world countries by eliminating America's import and export taxes. After the European royal family secured control of America's assets, by the passage of the Federal Reserve Act in 1913, their first planned strategy was to initiate preparations to immerse North America into a world war, which was accomplished by cleverly arranging for the sinking of the Lusitania and the circulation of propaganda worldwide, which accused the government of Germany for this despicable act of cowardice. Note: it will not be discovered until some 80 years later that the Lusitania actually sunk from an internal explosion in the fire room, which could have been the result of a strategically placed bomb next to one of the ship's boilers as opposed to a torpedo delivered from a German submarine. The American people believed the fictitious printed rumors instead of demanding proof, which eventually will become the American rule rather than the American exception. The American public has been taught to believe that everything reported by the media is the absolute truth, which succeeded in making them mentally lazy and highly gullible. 18 The fruit of the European royal endeavors resulted in the First World War, and they financed both sides of the war. The financing contracts with these nations was arranged through the Rothschild banking empire and was conditional in that, regardless of who wins or loses, both nation countries shall be responsible for the war debt, which shall be paid back in gold with interest, and usually included a lien upon each nation's treasury, which ensured the European royal family's future control over the legislators of each government. Note: during World War I, a great many types of gas and germ warfare was implemented by both sides. The Illuminati took advantage of this type of warfare and released an airborne flu virus in the United States and in Europe to help reduce the world's population of their weaker, less virile members. This flu virus would later be known as influenza and will be used by the Illuminati many more times in the future. World War II was also a planned event and was instigated for several of the same reasons, e.g. to reduce the world's population and stall its population growth, to generate prejudice, hate and competition between the various nationalities, races and creeds, to gain the profits generated by another world war, and lastly to scare the Jews out of Europe and back into Palestine. Note: historically, the Jews were always a highly intelligent race who homeschooled their children in religion, language, arts, science, and mathematics. They were not your typical ignorant, unwashed society, and they questioned everyone and everything and were opposed to being governed by any other faction, which made them a constant obstacle for the European royal faction to control and or eliminate. The Sabbatean Jews do not practice the same Judaism as other Jews around the world, and since they couldn't successfully convert the other sects to the pagan Judaism practiced in ancient Babylon, the Sabbatean Jews preferred to destroy them as their enemies. The Sabbatean Jews are bound and 19 determined to make the biblical Old Testament come true, and they constantly influence and alter world events in an attempt to accomplish this. Baron Rothschild, a/k/a Adolf Hitler, a Sabbatean Jew, got carried away with his new role as the Chancellor of Germany and became a little too ambitious in the development of the Illuminati's pre-planned regime. Hitler circumvented the original, scripted, long-term Masonic plan of ruling the world from Mesopotamia and opted to establish an instant global empire with his central headquarters located in Berlin, Germany. Note, all of the materials that the world has been furnished regarding the origin and death of Adolf Hitler, was like his name, a complete fiction. Hitler died of old age in Argentina and no one knows what really happened to his concubine, Eva Braun. By the end of World War II, the Masonic cabal, Freemasons, attempted to cement the European royal faction's control over the rest of the world by creating the privately owned corporate United Nations, which explains why only 71 out of 267 countries ever came on board. At that time, the Sabaton/Rothschild criminal cabal controlled all five of the permanent Security Council members but has since lost the support and controls over the Republic of China and Russia. Note, for clarification purposes, the Republic of China is an entirely different entity from that of the Chinese royal family. One is the Communist Political Government of China and the other is a combination of many different royal family descendants composed of various nationalities. The Chinese royal family wielded the greatest amount of influence over the other royal family members and so the name of their group became known as the Chinese royal family. Their center of business is located in Hong Kong and the family bank is called the Royal Dragon Society Bank. Back in America, the patriarch of the Rockefeller family, John D., representing the gas and oil industry and his fellow robber barons J.P. Morgan in banking, Ford and Carnegie in transportation and steel production, and Coolidge, Hoover, Roosevelt and Truman in government began a long-term program to complete the final physical enslavement of the American people by quietly and 20 systematically gaining control over the Congress, the media, and the textbook publishing business. They accomplished this by liberally and strategically spreading a large portion of the Rothschild wealth throughout those venues in the form of bribes to congressmen and by purchasing the majority shares of stock in the American media and American textbook publishing companies. Note, through their financial influence and controls, these men of power were able to get the Federal Reserve Act and the Emergency Banking Act passed, which were designed to control all of America's assets and convinced or bribed the Congress to adopt the Bretton Woods Agreement, which was a plan designed to take over control of the American people and lastly was the creation of the Department of Education, which was administered by a director of their own choosing, to distort all educational materials and control and monitor the forced education of the American masses. 5. All of these principles are part and parcel of the Babylonian slave-driving techniques. Their greatest deception, apart from establishing a duplicitous corporate government, the theft of America's assets, and the distortion of American history, was the promotion of the so-called science of economics, which is and always has been the basic ancient Babylonian slave-driving technology. This proved to be an essential mechanism for the European faction to thoroughly separate the American people from their assets, liberty, and freedom. End quotes. The following quote was taken from the once uncirculated memoirs of President Franklin D. Roosevelt, which partly explains the crux or root of this great American fraud. But, even Roosevelt didn't know the depth of the European royal family influence and control in America and that their intervention actually predated George Washington's administration. 5. This has been validated by the research of award-winning educator John Taylor Gatto. 21. The real truth of the matter is, as you and I know it, a financial element in the larger centers, has owned the government since the days of Andrew Jackson. In politics nothing happens by accident and if it happens at all, you can be sure we planned it that way. President Franklin D. Roosevelt. This next quote is from the writings of Mayer Amschel Bauer, 1744-1812, a Sabaton Jewish-German banker and the founder of the Rothschild family banking empire 6, who later changed his last name to Rothschild, which was his wife's maiden name, because people often mistakenly addressed him as Mr. Rothschild. Mayer Rothschild died in the same year as the War of 1812 and his empire was continued on by his 7 sons. The marquee bearing the family name of Rothschild, found above the business door, meant revolution in the German language and the 6-pointed star that adorned this plaque, which is mistakenly attributed to the Jewish faith as the Star of David, was actually derived from the 6-pointed star used in pagan idolatry worship of ancient Egypt. The star is 2 triangles, one pointed downward and one pointed upward, which are the symbols of man and woman. By and through his eventual success, wealth, and influence, the Rothschild family faction was responsible for causing this six-pointed symbol to be named the Star of David and become adopted by the Jewish religion and the political symbol of Israel. Give me control over a nation's currency and I don't care who makes the laws. Mayer A. Bauer Rothschild during World War II, Adolf Hitler's Minister of Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, is most often quoted for this philosophical gem. Remember this quote most of all because it has been effectively employed upon the American public as frequently and successfully as the proverb, "Where there's smoke, there's fire." If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. Joseph Goebbels' sixth, the sordid, greedy, and vicious history of the Rothschilds is available in Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book The Synagogue of Satan. 22. This expose represents a compilation of historic secrets, hopefully in their correct sequence of events. It is not presented to you with a bibliography because you, the reader, will either believe it or you will not. No one will take the time to read or examine my sources because that is not what Americans do, courtesy of those expert mind control techniques that we all have been subjected to for so many years. The American nature is to believe what we hear, no matter how truthful and especially if it is repeated a great number of times, such as this jewel of propaganda. You are a free people, protected by a constitution. American politicians. My other reason for writing this expose in this manner also concerns my personal safety and plight. Too many patriots and loyalists who have attempted to document and expose government corruption throughout the centuries have been killed, are sitting in prison, are being detained in mental hospitals, or are being detained and tortured as terrorists in the military prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Remember how the elite and royal families of early Babylon dealt with unusually intelligent people? They were enrolled, they were murdered or they were dealt with by other devious means. Asian historians. So as long as I do not attach a bibliography to this document, I will be regarded by most of the elite and royal classes, government officials, bankers, judges, lawyers, and priests as some kind of screwball and hopefully my safety should be reasonably assured. Few have expressed my observations and beliefs better than Stuart Chase, an American economist, engineer, and author, who wrote, "For those who believe, no proof is necessary and for those who don't believe, no proof is ever enough." Stuart Chase. I now wish to address my apprehension about the Sabbatean Jewish faction, many of whom serve as European and American politicians, bankers, judges, and lawyers. The following quotes are from the Jewish Talmud, which is as much like the Holy Bible as to a Christian. After reading the following passages, I ask you to draw your own conclusions. 23:1 Jews may lie to non-Jews, Jews may use lies to circumvent a Gentile. Baba Kamma 1:1-3:8-2 Jews may swear falsely by use of subterfuge wording. Shabbat Haggai 6b. 3 Jews must always try to deceive Christians. Zohar 1:1-6:0-8-4 Who took an oath in the presence of goys, the robbers, and the custom house officer, is not responsible. Tosefta Zibnot, 11:5 One should and must make false oath, when the goyin ask if our books contain anything against them. Then we are bound to state on oath that there is nothing like that. Utsabo. The Book of Jordia, 17:24 Part 2 American History, Uncensored.